To everybody, happy new year and welcome today to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote has been taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, and type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Okay, members, apologies. I believe we have apologies from Councillor Hannan and Councillor Owen. Any other apologies, Sarah?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, thank you. Item number two, sorry, Chair,
there's an apology from Johnny McBride, Director of Neighbourhood Services.
Thank you. Any declarations of interest, members? No one wishes to speak on that. Item number three is in relation to the action sheets. We have three action sheets today for the last three meetings we've had. The first one is on the 24th September 2020, the second the 24th of the 11th 20, and the third meeting was the 7th of the 12th 20. I'd like to go through them page by page for accuracy, and at the end I'll take a proposer and seconder at the end. So taking the meeting on the 24th of September 2020, for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Okay, members, moving to meeting on the 24th of November, page 1. And page 2. And meeting on the 7th of December, page 1. Okay, members, I don't see anybody coming in relation to the points of accuracy. Could I take a proposer and accept and seconder to accept these action points, please? I have a proposer by Councillor Casey and a seconder by Councillor Byrne. Councillor Sharvin. Mr. Sharvin, you've typed in A.
Yeah, Chair, it seems to be an issue on my keyboard here that it's an A. I did hit an S, so ignore that. Sorry, Chair, I don't know what's going on. So choose
no
to
worry.
Lose.
That's grand. Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. Moving on then to item number 4 is the Corporate Risk Register, and I'll bring in Dorina to take us through that. Dorina, thank you.
Sorry, Chair. Sorry, I was just having difficulty getting off mute there. So in terms of the corporate risk register members, we're presenting it to you as updated and in the same format as in the past. You'll see from the report attached that the SMT reviewed this on the 9th of December, and the quarterly assurance statements for quarter two were also used, presented to the SMT and used to inform discussions and update. You'll see then at it's in our normal format, but just matters to bring to your attention then at 2.1. Given where we were on the 9th of December, we decided that although Brexit was mentioned in some of the corporate risks that stood at that time, we felt that we needed a corporate risk solely devoted to Brexit. And so you will see that corporate risk 15 was added to the corporate risk register, really very much to focus on the risks that were presented to council at that time and very much around the implementation, the 1st of January date, and what we were facing. You'll also note in 2.1 that the corporate risk register has been reviewed and updated against the council's new strategic objectives as outlined in the corporate plan 21 to 23, which has recently received council approval. And the other thing to note to 2.2 is that we have done a thorough review of directorate risk registers. It's ongoing at the minute, somewhere in completion, and so we will elevate any matters arising to the corporate risk register out of that exercise as well. So one other point just to note as well in relation to corporate risk 10 is that the timing of the review that's presented to you, if you'll recall, corporate risk 10 is our risk around our industrial relations, and I suppose it's just appointed a bit of an anomaly here in terms of the timing of this review. We carried out this review on the 9th of December. We just got over the hump of our strike day on the 4th, and we were entering into LRA negotiations again on the Friday of that week. So we, I suppose, were feeling quite positive at that point. It was on the 11th of December then that the SMT were informed of further industrial action. So this is very much a snapshot at a point in time. And so you might sort of be questioning why this maybe didn't reflect what has been going on in the last couple of weeks. It's, I suppose, it proves to you it's a live document and a working document. So we will review that corporate risk 10 again the next time that we look at this as well and update that accordingly. So happy to take any questions or comments, Chair.
Thank you, Doreena. I have a question from Councillor Casey.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's just around the industrial relations and the current difficulties the Council faced there quite recently. When you think back a couple of months, you mentioned yourself where we thought we had a historic arrangement or agreement with unions and staff and council regarding terms and conditions and other issues of concern to our workers. But the most recent negotiations have come to some sort of conclusion, but as you see, yourself is still very fluid. Now, this may well come up at some later stage in the meeting, but I just want to mention it now so I can get it right in my head in case I have to leave the meeting. It shows you how we can be trundling along nicely and all of a sudden everything goes haywire when agreements aren't reached or words, agreements are broken or alleged to be broken. Could you tell me, is it... how confident are we now, 2 weeks after, a week after the negotiations have finished and staff are back to work, that things have returned to some sort of normality and the staff are happy under the circumstances, reasonably happy under the circumstances that, you know, their concerns have been listened to and that's their demands, but whatever they're entitled to has been agreed to. So I know it's a fluid situation. But it shows you how quickly we can deteriorate and how, I mean, it's only for a number of days, the industrial action, but they're still catching up for it now. And there's people whose bins have still not been emptied and there's waste lying on the streets. And so could you maybe just elaborate on that Doreen, if you don't mind. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, do you want me to come in now or do you want to take all questions? I'm happy to do either.
If you'd like to go ahead, that'd be great, Doreena.
Sure, yeah. I suppose in terms of the comments around back to normal, Councillor Casey, I at SMT this morning, Johnny was able to advise us that it's expected that the overdue, if you like, bin collection or those missed bins, that we should be back to normal. We should have all of those picked up now by the middle of this week, which is essentially tomorrow, so that things are very much back on track in that regard, which is excellent. And the workforce has been very good at coming out and did a lot of work over the last couple of days to try and get round all of those missed bins. How assured are we that all staff are happy? That's something that I couldn't answer. Obviously, the chief executive issued communications out to all staff on Friday evening, so staff are very much informed. But as to how happy they are, I couldn't answer that for you. But certainly staff are, you know, presenting for work, and I think there has been a real effort by staff over the last couple of days in waste services in particular to catch up on all the bins. So there's certainly good, you know, staff cooperation in that regard. I can tell you that, and that's really good that we are getting things back on track as quickly as that, which is excellent.
Yeah, and as part of our strategic objectives is essential service delivery. And, it's important that, you know, we do have that and we're seen to be doing that. So it'll always be a risk. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Industrial relations will always be a risk. Workers' contentment is always going to be a risk. Staff contentment right across the board. So I can't see that disappearing off the risk register for the foreseeable future anyway. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for that. Before I bring Councillor Devlin in, I just want to ask Sarah, I see an unknown user has joined the meeting. Is that a problem?
An unknown user?
It's come up on my screen under the meeting chat, unknown user has joined the meeting.
Sarah, that might be me.
Oh.
Ellie?
Right.
Apologies, Chair.
No problem. Who's me? Sorry.
Alison Robert, Assistant Director, and Alison's responsible for complaints, which is why she's joined the later agenda item.
That's grand. As long as we know who you are, that's great. Okay, can I bring in Councillor Devlin, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We'll not kick Alison out just yet. Give her a wee bit of time. My comments actually relate to the proposal under the same item number 4, the corporate risk register, about the proposal to de-escalate the IT issue to a directorate risk as opposed to remaining on the corporate risk register. I think just upon reflection, it might be best if that was remained sort of within the corporate risk register simply. But first of all, wanting to sort of acknowledge the absolutely amazing work of Gavin and the team in IT in terms of what they've done over the past year. The timing couldn't have been better. I mean, I'm sure in terms of councils, how quickly we all got working virtually and got virtual meetings up and running and going was superb. But I suppose if we were to maybe make a proposal to try and retain the IT, factored in the cyber security risk that was mentioned there as well on the corporate register, I think that it's moved from red to amber in quite a short space of time, if I'm right in saying. So I think maybe it might be best if we were to retain that on the corporate register so it would come back through the audit committee here directly, I think.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Devlin, Doreena, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, I suppose if I can just explain to you the rationale, which I suppose we our comments are quite succinct. So just to explain a bit more detail our rationale for that. The risk as described is that our IT services do not support the statutory, strategic or operational requirements of council. I suppose when we were looking at this in December and reflecting on the period from March, our IT services have probably had their biggest challenge in time to date in terms of the reaction to COVID. And the conversations that we had at SMT was looking back over that period, we felt that the IT services and the ability to support council from its statutory functions in terms of running all our council meetings, which we know other councils have not been successful in doing, our strategic objectives and actually really the operational, getting all our staff operating remotely as much as we did. We thought that actually we had proven, if you like, that the IT services very much did support the statutory, strategic and operational requirements of council. We were, however, proposing, you know, to de-escalate. There still is an outstanding piece of work around the disaster recovery, which is ongoing at present. And so I was proposing to retain that risk at directorate level just until that last piece of the stabilisation was completed. But we were recognising then that a corporate risk would remain, but more focused on cybersecurity. You know, we've had a number of external courses and over the period of COVID, and very much if you read about any CEO objectives at this time, it's the risk of cybersecurity that has come out of that remote working environment. Is a very, very hot topic at the minute. It's a very key strategic risk organisationally and globally. So we were proposing to change the focus of the risk to be more around the cybersecurity, recognising that actually operationally we have sort of tested ourselves through the circumstances that COVID presented. We're de-escalating that element, but retaining and refocusing the risk, really. So that was our rationale for it. But if the audit committee is not content with that and want to see it remaining as is, we can do that.
Chair, can I come back in there?
Absolutely, please do.
Yeah, Drina, thank you so much. That must add a bit more as opposed to just de-escalating. And I'm just wondering, so the cyber risk then, would that then be sitting at a directorate level or would that be on?
No. No, that would be at corporate level. That's very much a corporate risk, yeah. So it's keeping an IT risk at corporate level, refocusing it so that we're focused on the right area, the cyber area, and then de-escalating the more operational, you know, and statutory requirement bit down into the directorate just until we finish off that last bit around disaster recovery and making sure that we have ourselves, you know, really stable. There's just one little chink left there that we want to, you know, finish off.
Okay. Thank you, Drina, for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Byrne has a question. Councillor Byrne, is it in relation to this particular aspect?
It's corporate risk four.
Could I just finish out, if you don't mind? Thank you. I was just going to ask Drina just to marry up the removal of the risk from the corporate risk register as suggested, and she's explained it very well there. And then under the audit recommendations and the risk profile, the IT strategy element still remains as a medium risk, as Councillor Devlin mentioned. And just if she could just marry that up for us so that we can understand just a little bit more. Thank you.
So in terms of the audit recommendations, that's it, Chair. Sorry, I'm not sure what question.
Yeah, I suppose I'm just saying that one report is showing the IT strategy as still a medium risk for the organisation, mm-hmm. and yet we're suggesting taking that out from the corporate risk register to directorate risk register. I'm just trying to understand the balance between the two.
Okay, so yeah, just to reiterate then, we are proposing to retain an IT risk at corporate level. So it'll not be removed. This specific risk, I suppose, will de-escalate, but an IT risk will remain at a corporate level. We're really proposing to change the focus of this risk at corporate level to be focused around cybersecurity. So we are still recognising very much so that there remains, you know, IT does remain a big risk factor. This risk originated at a time and probably stemming from the audit recommendations. It originated at a time when we really needed to do a lot of work around stabilising our entire IT platform. So we believe that we are stable now. Still a little bit of work to do that can be managed at directorate risk level, but we want to retain a corporate risk that focuses on cybersecurity in the main. So the audit recommendation is still recognised, and there still exists a risk for the organisation. We're not taking away from that, but just making sure that we're focused our efforts in the right areas.
Okay, thank you. That sounds sensible. If I could bring in Councillor Byrne at this juncture.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Mine's on the corporate risk four, around the waste. I totally agree with Charlie's point about industrial action, because it hasn't even been brought to the SBNR committee, and we don't know the details of that, so that will indefinitely probably stay on the risk register, and we're going to do the second phase of the negotiations and operating procedures and stuff. I think that's always going to be a risk. My issue is around the neighbourhood transformation. I mean, we've changed director so many times in this directorate, and that we started talking, when I got into council, we started talking about route optimisation, then we started talking on the last director about the street scene programme, and we talked about making efficiencies through the neighbourhood transformation. And we have it here, obviously, that that's sort of on hold. Nothing has been advanced because of planning for the future. And it is my view that maybe planning for the future itself may be on hold because of COVID. So that in itself creates a bigger problem. So I suppose getting an update on, we also have the neighbourhood services when we go through the waste process is consistently over budget. So being able to effectively manage waste would all come down to finding and targeting efficiencies through the neighbourhood service transformations, and it keeps seeming to chop and change. And I'm worried about the planning for the future. In my view, maybe parked for 2021, and what effect that will have on the neighbourhood transformations project not advancing at all.
Okay, Tarina, are you able to come back on that?
Yeah, no, I think, Councillor, I recognise your concerns. It's probably not one that I can answer for you today. I think it is one where we do need to consider, as you say. We need to consider planning for the future and what impact any decisions with regard to it will have on neighbourhood services. I expect that the Chief Executive now will be turning her attention to that, and we will discuss both of those then, probably through with party leaders and then through the SPNR committee and through the council over the next probably coming weeks, really, and months.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you for that, Tarina. Could I bring in Councillor Devlin, please?
Sorry, that was regarding the last one, but I'm okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just a couple of points, if I may, before we move on. The first one was in relation to CR5, that is planning. And just to, I'm aware there is a planning consultant, a specialist that was brought in and is continuing to do their work, and they'll be presenting a report, as I understand it, this quarter. And just to ask the Director if we could have the same information brought back to us as appropriate for the audit committee, just to keep us updated on what's happening in relation to that.
Yeah, that's no problem at all. I think a previous report came to this committee for noting, so we can bring that. And I suppose just to advise yourself, Chair, that report is going, I think, to the planning committee in the first instance, and I believe SPNR have requested it as well, so absolutely no problem bringing it here.
Okay, thank you, Tarina. The other thing just wanted to touch on was the health and safety review that was carried out. And members will recall that at the audit committee, we decided not to go ahead with an audit of health and safety, but to change it into a review, which was much more constructive at that time, which duly was carried out by Christine from ASM. I think it was around June 2020. Looking at the audit plan, there is no time set aside for information or a follow-up in relation to that review to be brought back to the audit committee. And I just wanted to check in with Christine to check to see what will be brought back to the audit committee in the future in relation to that particular area. Thank you, Christine.
Thanks, Bruna. So as part of the follow-up work this year, we can touch on the progress of those recommendations. So the follow-up is just actually started on Monday of this week, which was yesterday. So we will bring then in April time, we'll bring the final follow-up report to this committee, and I'll give a status update on those recommendations, Bruna.
That's great. Thank you very much, Christine. And I'll just bring in Councillor Casey.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe it's not the right forum to raise it, but it's just on the back of something you said yourself, Bruna, there about the with planning. Notice it's on the same report there, there's still an outstanding number of backlog cases, and we're receiving more planning applications than ever. They seem to be working diligently through the live applications, but there are a number of historic cases that maybe it doesn't seem to be reducing quickly enough. Would that be right? Maybe I read that wrong. Is there someone there who could maybe qualify that? Is it the right forum to raise it?
Charlie, I think that will be picked up in the report of the planning consultant, because I do think he has had a specific focus on the backlog cases. So hopefully that'll be evident in the report now that he's producing. Right. I wouldn't be able to talk to the figures myself, but we can get you that information outside of the committee if you want it quicker.
I wouldn't be bad. Yeah. Thanks very much. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Well, if there are no other queries in relation to that particular report, can members agree to note the report? Okay, thank you. Moving on to item number 5, prompt payments. I would like to ask Kate if she would take this report first. Thank you, Kate.
Okay, thanks, Chair. So you've all received a copy of the report which outlines the most recent prompt payment statistics for quarter two between July and September last year. And you will also note that when compared to quarter one of this financial year, the percentage of invoices that have been paid outside the payment period of 30 calendar days has reduced from 18% to 11%. And the average number of days taken to pay suppliers has also reduced from 24 to 21 days. So I suppose really the key message from this report is that, you know, our performance is improving. And whilst we're not quite at our pre-pandemic levels of performance that we had in quarter four between January and March last year, we are hopeful that the level of improvement can be sustained in quarter three and quarter four this year, which will, of course, be reported back to you when the statistics become available.
Thank you, Kate, for that update, and well done to all the staff involved in getting as many invoices through, given the current circumstances. I don't see any members asking any questions, so can we agree to note the quarter two prompt payment statistics? Okay, thank you, members. Items 6 to 16 are deemed to be restricted under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. So can I ask for proposer and seconder members to move into closed business? I have a proposer from Councillor Devlin. I need a seconder. Councillor Byrne, thank you. Okay. As follows.
Sorry, we're just waiting on the recording to start.
Oh.
You can go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. I'm a bit too quick there. Item number 6, update re-audit recommendations. It was agreed to note the update in relation to legacy audit recommendations and the risk profile of internal audit reports. Item number 7, the update in relation to fraud and whistleblowing. It was agreed to note the update in relation to the fraud and raising concerns cases. Item number 8, direct award contracts. It was agreed to note the update in relation to the single tender actions. Item number 9, update re-ASM investigation single tender actions. It was agreed to note the update in relation to the ASM investigation into the Council's use of single tender actions. Item number 10, it was agreed in relation to the declarations of interest re-elected members. It was agreed to note the outstanding register of interest form has been now completed and uploaded to the website, and it was proposed by Councillor Sharvin and seconded by Councillor Gibbons that members would regularly review their register of interest forms, with a 6-monthly report being brought forward to Audit Committee to ensure compliance. Item number 11, overview of complaints. It was agreed to note the number and profile of complaints received over the reporting period, the progress made and in hand to improve complaints handling. Item number 12, ASM internal audit summary report. It was agreed to note this report. Item number 13, ASM internal audit report accounts payable. It was agreed to note this report. Item number 14, ASM internal audit report recapital grants. It was agreed to note this report. Item number 15, ASM internal audit report re-emergency planning in relation to COVID-19. It was agreed to note this report. And item number 16, the NIAO report to those charged with governance. It was agreed to note the covering letter to the Chief Executive and the final report. Okay, members, we can now move to item number 17, which is an absenteeism report by the INAO. And I would ask Brian if he would like to just give us a broad view on that, a broad overview on that. Thank you, Brian.
Yes, Chair, thank you. This absenteeism report, it's different. It's been different this year. Sort of we've compared the absenteeism figures between central and local government. I don't propose to make the report in any great detail other than say there's an overview there which outlines the reasons for the sickness absence in the Northern Ireland public sector, and it gives a good few key principles and good practice there in part 3 of the report for organisations to take on board and try to reduce their sickness absence levels.
Okay, Brian. Yes, it's a very useful and informative report, so thank you for that. Members don't appear to have any questions, so we'll take it that we've agreed to note that report. Item number 18 is the Local Government Auditor Annual Report from December, dated December 2020. And again, maybe Brian, you would give us just a broad overview on that report. Thank you.
Yes, Chair, thank you. This is an annual report which the Chief Local Government Auditor produces every year. This report covers the work up to the accounts for year ended March 2019. So a lot of information, a lot of facts and figures there, particularly in the first part of the report, in relation to particularly agency costs, the borrowing and the general fund, which splits out all councils' expenditure in those areas. I suppose it just gives a commentary on all different types of figures, income and expenditure, staffing levels, borrowing, pension costs, reserves, financial management across all councils. Part 2 of the report highlights good governance issues. The governance statements, audit and risk committees, internal audit and reporting fraud and raising concerns. And part of it gives a commentary on the performance up to March 2009. And the last part of the report outlines a bit on challenges and opportunities facing the whole local government sector in terms of asset management, ongoing capital projects, and a couple of city, region, and local growth deals that are ongoing. So it's quite a detailed report. And it's, as I say, it's an annual report that gets published by the local government auditor.
Okay, thanks, Brian, for that. It is a very comprehensive and useful report and very relevant. I'd just like to bring in Doreena, please, at that juncture.
Yeah, it's thank you, Chair. Members, you'll be aware of a previous audit committee, and I know it's something that members do ask me, especially at this time of the year where we're thinking about rates, etc. And we noted in the about the level of reserves held by this council in comparison to other councils. So we've noted it in the action sheet and referred you to this item. If you look at page 27 of the report, figure 11, that's the most up-to-date comparison. But what I would say to members is this, what the local government auditor has done in figure 11 is compare the general fund balance only. So you will, in our case, presently, we hold all of our reserves in what's called our general fund, available for all purposes. Other councils will have a number of other reserves, for example, you know, a capital receipts reserve or other ring fence reserves as well. So this is a comparison of the general fund balance only, but it's probably the most objective comparator that you'll have at this point. So if you just want to refer to that, I know it's of interest to many of you. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Dorina. I don't see any further questions from members, so can we will then just therefore move to agree and to note that report. Thank you, members. Okay, if we can move to item number 19, which is an update with performance and improvement, I'm going to ask Kate if she would give us an overview of that report, please. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Chair. So this report has already been considered by the strategy, our SPR committee, and it provides an update in relation to the current legislative requirements around performance and improvement, which have been amended and reviewed in response to the pandemic. So first of all, in relation to the annual performance improvement plan, councils were not required to publish and produce a plan for the 2021 financial year. And we are currently working with the Department for Communities to agree a way forward in terms of publishing a plan for the next financial year that will continue to assist councils in responding to and recovering from the impact of the pandemic. Secondly, in relation to the annual self-assessment, councils were required to go ahead and produce their self-assessment by the 30th of September last year, and the report for Newry Morning Down was published within this time frame on our website. And thirdly, in relation to the annual performance audit and assessment, it was agreed that in the absence of this year's performance improvement plan, the audit and assessment would be retrospective and look back at the strength of our performance management arrangements really during the 1920 financial year. And the performance audit for Newry Morning Down is currently underway, and we are expecting the final report by March, which will then be brought to this audit committee in April. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Kate. There are no questions coming through from members, so we'll agree to note that report. So members, that takes us to item number 20 on the agenda, which is a circular in relation to guidance for disposal of land at less than best price. And I think we can just agree to note that that item. So members, that brings us to the end of this audit committee. I want to say thank you, big thank you to all the officers and to Christine and everybody involved, Dorina, Kate, etc., for keeping us all right and for all that work that they have completed. And I want to wish you all very well and stay safe, and look forward to seeing you at the next audit committee. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.